We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, CB2PFL. It's Wednesday. It's March 8th. If you're hanging out with us on Tuesday night over there on YouTube, welcome. Hope everyone is having a fantastic Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. Joined today by my good buddy Keith Eiser, Eyes819, filling in, pinch hitting tonight. So we hope that Timothy Buell starts to feel a little bit better. He's he got the night off. He's not feeling the best, so we'll hope he gets better. And appreciate you filling in here, Keith. And what's happening, my friend?
Yeah, hopefully Tim gets to feeling better. Happy to step in and talk some hoops with you. We had a wild slate on Tuesday, kind of a preview of what the rest of this NBA season is going to look like. I think just amazing amounts of value, all kinds of injury situations, teams resting, all kinds of guys. Crazy value. Steph Curry was my fade. You were talking about the three-pointers, and boy, Steph came down and just kind of shoved it down my throat. He started 8 of 9. I think he made 10 three-pointers in the game, so good for Steph. That one didn't work out so well for me.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of, like, weird – like, not weird, but a lot of, like, plays that we weren't expecting to do well did well kind of slate, so – like you kind of said, this is going to be one of those like times of the year where it's like, all right, you know, what's going to happen? So yeah, I mean, Tim Hardaway, someone that hasn't done anything in like a month, absolutely smashing tonight. So you're going to have Gordon, right, random guys. What's that?
Gordon Hayward was another one.
Yeah, but he's at least been playing good recently. It's not like it's a huge shocker.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Jaden Ivey smashed too. Like, just some random stuff. Granted, Detroit had nobody playing. But yeah. Some random guys up at the top of the leaderboard tonight for sure.
We get back at it. Six games. Break it down like we normally do here. Seven games. Sorry, not six. Just trying to be optimistic. Just kidding. seven games late. So let's jump right in. We get started here. Atlanta at Washington. This game is currently at a 233 total. Hawks, a 3 to 4 point favorite, depending on where you're looking. As far as the injury report here, Washington second in the back-to-back. Atlanta, nobody on the injury report night before. Monte Morris did not play on Tuesday against Detroit. I don't know if that was a back-to-back situation. They said it was a back injury. But yeah, I mean, what is it? It's six games now, or five or six games for him. They did say he was like starting to get close, but he's missed, I think it's five, might be six games now, but he's been out. Let's go Atlanta first. What do you like here for the Hawks?
Atlanta's always a tough team for me. I do like the matchup against Washington, and the pricing looks pretty good. Like, we've seen Trae Young up near 10K a lot of times this year. He's down to 8,800. I don't hate shots on him. And DeJounte Murray is cheap as well, 7,700. Two guys that have been tough to play this year just because they eat into what we've seen from each of them historically. But this matchup and these prices, I think you can take shots on either one of them. Murray's been playing a little bit better than Trey recently, I would say. He's cheaper, so I probably lean to DeJounte slightly over Trey, but both of them in play. Capella, we've seen have a couple of good games with the new coaching staff. This in his last game, he was back above 30 minutes, which is always nice to see. If we can get another 30 minutes out of Capella, I don't mind this spot for him at all. That's probably about it. The rest of the guys in the 4Ks is tough. Like, the price on John Collins is ridiculous. He's down to 4,100, but he just has not been producing anything. So even though he's way cheaper than we're used to him seeing him, just can't play him right now with the production that we're seeing there.
Yeah, I think overall, looking at Atlanta, Trey, DeJounte, your ceiling guys, I mean, Trey's price is now under 9K. He really hasn't had like that big game, but he's capable of like 70 plus fantasy point games. So under 9K on a seven game slate, I think he's in play. DeJounte, if you want to save some money, definitely agree with that. Capella, the minutes are always the thing. I mean, Washington will likely roll out Gafford and Porzingis enough minutes where Capella could play 30 minutes tonight. He played a lot of minutes the other night because he was matched up against Bam a lot and had a decent game. Just, it's really tough to have smash games against Bam. Bam's really good at defense. Miami plays so slow too. So yeah, I mean, overall, not a ton of interest in Atlanta in this one. I think like those guys are okay. Sadiq Bey at 4,800, I think is okay. He's like under 5K, and he's been playing like 30 minutes. I think he's over 32 minutes in three of his last five games. So I think Bay is interesting in this spot. On the Washington side, I mean, obviously the first thing we'll have to do is see like who plays, who doesn't play. They played back-to-back earlier this week, right? Or the weekend. They played a recent back-to-back. Porzingis played in that back-to-back. Beal played in that back-to-back. So I would assume that these guys play. Kuzma sat the second end of the back-to-back the other night. So let's see what Washington does. What are your initial thoughts here on Washington?
Yeah, I definitely think we could see the rest situation here for like Kuzma. I would say is the one who's at the most risk of sitting. He's been dealing with that knee injury, has been carrying a questionable tag for at least a week now. He did play through it Tuesday night, but I would not be surprised if Kuzma sat. If Morris is out again, Beal has been absolutely smashing without him, filling up the stat sheet, scoring a bunch of points. Matchup against Atlanta is not something I'm terribly concerned about. So Beal at 8,100, he's in play as long as Morris sits for me, even if Kuzma is in and Porzingis too. He's just been playing really well lately. I was on more Porzingis Tuesday night than Beal, and Porzingis didn't quite get there. Beal smashed. So I'll probably switch that up for this slate here and just lean on the recent performance of Beal. Delon Wright, the price tag is kind of adjusted to this situation without Morris. Probably don't need to go there. Gafford's price is about right as well. So probably just Beal for me, unless we get a bunch of guys resting here.
All right, we got Portland at Boston. 229.5 total here. Celtics, a 10.5-point favorite. On the injury report for the Celtics, Gallinari's out. Robert Williams is out, and Pritchard is questionable. On the Portland side, Nurkic is questionable. Simons is already out, and Winslow is out. So we'll be paying attention to the Nurkic news. What are your thoughts here on the Trailblazers?
Yeah, I mean, it's Damian Lillard, right? Without Simons, he just has a massive ceiling. We saw the big triple-double in the last game. Obviously, a really difficult matchup here. He's priced up, but I don't care the way he's been playing here recently. He has the capability of smashing any slate. He's not my favorite spin on the slate by any means because of the matchup, but he can certainly still get it done. So definitely some Lillard. Cam Reddish has been playing really well. Also, 4,700 is fine for what he's been doing recently, even in a tough matchup. I probably don't get up to Grant in this situation, especially not if Nurkic makes it back. Just 7,300, tough matchup. Don't see a ceiling there for him. Nurkic, I'd be concerned about the minutes if he plays. So I think Lillard and Reddish should be the two Trailblazers I'm looking at.
Yeah, I don't have much more to add. Those are the two guys that I have written down as well. Lillard, just seven games late. If we look at like the last like 2 weeks, Lillard's usage is higher than anybody else on the slate. So I mean, just kind of think of that. Like Lucas's unit usage has gone down a little bit because of Kyrie. Jokic's usage is all over the place right now. It's like he doesn't want to win the MVP, but they're winning. I mean, so how do you really complain? I think they've won like four straight. So yeah, I mean, I think Lillard, even in a tough matchup like this, the usage just outweighs everything else. So definitely interested in Lillard, definitely interested in Reddish. Boston side of things, I mean, everyone coming back here. Brown, 9,100, monster game against Cleveland the other night with Tatum out. They should have won that game and they didn't. Or they won that game and they shouldn't have. No.
You were right first.
Yeah, I was right first. Because Williams missed the free throw, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you, Williams. Tatum, I think at 10-3, it's an expensive stack if you do that. It'd be interesting to see like what type of value opens up throughout the day to make that work. But I think that's like how you're probably approaching Tatum and Lillard, is just playing them together and hoping that they smash. The only other thing that I'll add is with Williams out, Al Horford's like 55 and they've been letting him play in the 30s. Super cheap. He's someone that's capable. His price has come up, but I still think there's a little bit of upside there with Williams out. So just throwing Al Horford's name out there as well. I liked it a lot more if Nurkic does not play.
Yeah, I don't mind the Horford call at all. A guy who can grab a bunch of rebounds, give you 15 points or so. So certainly in play at 5,500. Tatum is obviously the primary target here. You talked about the stack with Lillard. I think you have a ton of upside if the game goes right for you. Two slower paced teams, so not the best game environment, but like Lillard's going to play upper 30s minutes. Tatum likely plays upper 30s minutes. So there's still upside, even at these elevated prices. Just the stars is what I'm looking at here in this game. I think Brogdon and Smart are okay at their prices. Wouldn't kick them out of a lineup, but not going to be priorities for me by any means.
All right, so we got Cleveland at Miami. Good basketball game. I mean, fantasy-wise, probably not the best game we're going to have on the slate. 212 total. Cavs, a 1.5-point favorite in this one. Injury report-wise, nothing really on the Cleveland side. And then Kevin Love is questionable. Kyle Lowry's out for Miami. So, Keith, sell me on something here. I mean, we have two of the slowest paced teams in the NBA. Miami plays 28th. Cleveland plays 30th. And then if we look at defensive rating, Cleveland's first, Miami's fifth. Listen, anything can happen. Anything's possible. We just watched Jaylen Brown just absolutely smash the other night against Cleveland. Butler's 8,700. Bam is 8K. Like, I got nothing. Like, I was looking through this game before we jumped on here, and like, this is the third time they've played each other this year. Butler's averaging under 40 fantasy points. Mitchell's averaging under 40 fantasy points. Bam, I think, is at like 34 or 35. I got nothing in this game. Am I missing something, or are you kind of on the same wavelength here?
I'm absolutely on the same wavelength. Just not a great game environment. Like, maybe you chase a ceiling from Mitchell. Not a guy that I've played a ton of recently, but he finds that 60 fantasy point ceiling every now and again. He's priced up at 9,300. Don't love the matchup here, so probably not getting there. Miami, I have zero interest, so I'm right there with you. Maybe a deep tournament shot on Mitchell, and I would run that back with maybe Bam. Cody Martin is cheap and played well in his last game. But, yeah, there's nothing to like here. Just a really tough game environment. Two great defenses.
Yeah, I mean, the fantasy points allowed per game, Miami is 29th and Cleveland's 30th. It's not the spot you want to attack. Like, these are the two teams that, like, when they're facing other teams, are like, eh, the fact that they're facing each other, it's just, I think if you're playing this game, you're doing it in large field tournaments and you're doing it as like a game stack and just saying, hey, this game is going to be uber competitive. It has a chance to go OT. It's going to be, you know, guys playing 35 plus minutes and you're just hoping that like the studs perform. But overall, I mean, I think that's the only way in DFS that I'm approaching this game. There's nothing that I love here in this Cleveland-Miami game. So we're going to move on. We got Dallas at New Orleans. 230 total. Mavericks a 2-point favorite. Dallas second end of a back-to-back. We'll wait and see if anybody sits. Alvarado, Nance, Williamson still out for New Orleans. I kind of think everyone plays for Dallas in this spot. Looking at like recent double or back-to-backs, I would assume. The only thing is, like, because of like injuries and like how they've fallen, like Luka has not played a back-to-back since like the beginning of the season. I think it was December was his like last back-to-back. It was December 5th and 6th. So if he were to sit, Kyrie is just someone we're playing a lot. Not the best matchup in the world, but if Luka's no go, then I think Kyrie is a fantastic play. Talk to me about the Mavs.
Yeah, Kyrie is somebody I was on heavy on Tuesday night, having another good game there against the Jazz. The Jazz were actually able to keep that one close. So even if Luka's in, I have a little bit of interest in Kyrie. He's just been playing excellent since he came over to Dallas. So going to keep on that. Luka, the arrival of Kyrie has kind of hurt his ceiling. He started off really hot Tuesday night, but coming down to the end of the game, looks like he's going to finish right around 60 fantasy points again, which, I mean, at 11-8, almost 12K, 60 is not really enough on a 7-game slate. I don't know that I spend up to him. You talked about the matchup. Pelicans have been good on defense. So I would definitely just, we talked about it yesterday, but just take the savings down to Kyrie. He's been producing almost as much as Luka has. So I think we have to take note of this Hardaway game. I'm certainly not expecting it to happen again. But I've really been surprised by the lack of a third option here. And it's just because Kyrie and Luka do so much that there really hasn't been a third piece that's been able to get there in the few games they've played together. But Hardaway seems like the logical guy. Bullock did leave this game with an injury. So if he sits again, I think that just solidifies Hardaway's minutes. Don't love shooters on back-to-backs, but 4,600, I wouldn't hate a shot on Hardaway.
Yeah, not only did Bullock leave, when he left, Justin Holiday came in and played quite a bit of minutes. I think he ended up at like, I think it was like 28 the last time I checked. So I don't know. If he's like, yeah, he's finishing out the game. He's at 30 minutes. He's on the court, finishing out the game, having a really stellar game, 11-2-2 type of game. And that's fine at 3,100. So just something to kind of watch. It was a quad injury for Bullock. I doubt he plays on the second end of a back-to-back if he only played 4 minutes and left and did not come back on Tuesday night. So pay attention to this. I think I need to see Justin Holiday in the starting lineup for me to play him. If he's in the starting lineup and you think that he's just going to play Bullock's minutes, Bullock plays 35 minutes a night. If he gets 30 minutes here at, 3,200 on DraftKings? So pay attention to this one. it's definitely a potential value play situation, because I mean, everyone's going to want it to be Josh Green, and Josh Green just sits on the court, plays defense, sits on the court, just not a high usage guy. Holiday will get some shots up. So, New Orleans side of this game, you know, we talked about this yesterday. We'll talk about it again today, just in case you didn't listen. Appreciate you do listening though. Dallas is not the same defensive team as they were, you know, pretty much all season. You know, Finney Smith being gone is huge defensively. Is there, like, Brandon Ingram is someone that I, like, loved the other night against Sacramento. Absolutely smashed in the first half and didn't do anything in the second half. That was frustrating. CJ McCollum, I keep saying it. I'm probably sick of hearing me say it, but I really do think the wrist is a thing. Valanciunas came back and played really sound. 32 minutes, had a double-double, 40-plus fantasy points. His price is kind of in that range. And I think that's it. Oh, Richardson's expected to play. So, I mean, that is something to kind of note minutes-wise. What are your thoughts here on the Pelicans?
Yeah, I mean, it's really Ingram is my priority here. Like you said, played really well in the first half and the last one. Struggled down the stretch. But he's just been the guy that has the ceiling here recently. 8,400, he feels a little bit underpriced, but $400 or $500 is all. But enough to where, especially if I'm playing some Kyrie on the other side, I'm looking for a run back here. Dallas is no longer a team that we're afraid of. I'm going to fire up some Ingram. McCollum's kind of started to come out of it for a little bit. It looked like he still didn't shoot great, but he scored over 20 points in back-to-back games and then had a great matchup against Sacramento and fell off again. So I'm kind of still in wait and see mode on CJ. Definitely prefer Ingram. The return of Richardson kind of takes away all these, and Valanciunas too. It's tough to play guys who we had been, like Trey Murphy. We played a couple of slates. Herb Jones has been in play. None of those guys are really viable anymore with Richardson coming back. I think Richardson's the guy I'd take shots on if I was looking in this range, but don't really love any of them.
All right. We keep going here. We got Chicago at Denver. I was on the wrong tab, so I'm going to delay for a second. 229 total. The Nuggets, an 8-point favorite in this one. As far as the injury reports go here on Chicago's side, Green is out. Ball remains out. That's really it. Denver side, Michael Porter Jr. probable. And that's really it. So, Okankar is questionable for Denver. Go Chicago first. Is Vooch – okay, listen. I don't love this matchup against Jokic. But is Vooch finally at that price point where, like, all right, you know, this is a guy that was 9K a week and a half ago. 7,900, tough matchup, but the price just was like, all right, all right. Listen, when the Chicago Bulls are all healthy, it's really tough to, like, pinpoint which one you want to play. I think the matchup-wise, DeRozan has the best matchup. What are your thoughts on Chicago?
Yeah, tough team here. Like, the matchup scares me on Vooch. The price is attractive. Still not sure that I get there, though. Just don't see him really having a ton of success here against Jokic. DeRozan has been just struggling. LaVine has been the guy finding the ceiling more often. He's now the most expensive, which is definitely not what we've seen all season long. I still think I prefer LaVine here. One of these guys generally gets there, but they just switch on and off. It's been LaVine more recently. I probably just stick with the trends here. And LaVine would be my target. Maybe I get talked into some Vooch at 7,900. It is a really attractive price, but matchup is tough.
I know Vooch hasn't had a 50 burger in a month, Richie. I'm just saying that I know the games that he's capable of. He's capable of like 15 games. He's capable of getting defensive stats. So he just at this price point, you know, this is a guy that had a 28-17 game like a month ago. Like he's capable of monster games. Tough matchup. Maybe we put it on the shelf. We look at it again next time Chicago plays. But the price for Vooch is there. Denver side, or really quick, large field tournaments, if we don't have a lot of value open up, I don't mind taking some shots on Pat Beverly. That's all I'm going to say. There's no rhyme or reason to it. He's playing minutes.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That's all I got. Denver side of this one. I mean, listen, there's no like, oh, his usage is insane and all like it is. No. It's not that. I'm not going to try to make anything up. I'm just saying if we don't get a ton of value today, that he's cheap and he's been playing around 30 minutes. Minutes equal opportunity. He's going to start. Caruso's going to start at the two. He's not a huge usage guy, but he is someone that is very capable of having big assist games. He's someone capable of getting 3 to 5 assists or steals in a game. So that's my rhyme or reason. I talked way more about Patrick Beverly than I wanted to. We're going to Denver. Tough matchup for Jokic. Like, Vooch is still a good center, defensive center. I don't know if I would have Jokic at the top of my list as far as, like, spend-ups on this slate. Jamal Murray's been playing consistently good. It's a 7-game slate. Raw points matter a little bit. Aaron Gordon had a monster game the other night. I'm not going back to that for sure. Denver is tough for me in this spot. Like, this whole game, like, I know we kind of crossed off Cleveland, Miami, but I honestly don't have a ton of interest in the Chicago Denver game either.
Yeah, I mean, you can always play Jokic, but not the best spot. You talked about his usage. Like, he's just been kind of distributing more. Like, we haven't seen those 25 point games from him here recently. He's been in the teens each of the last 3, 4 of the last 5. Like, he's just not shooting the ball as much. It's tough to pay these premium price tags for him, especially in tough matchups. The Bulls play pretty slow. They've improved greatly on defense as the seasons went along. Yeah, I mean, I think I'd save the money and go down to Murray before I spend on Jokic. If MPJ sits, I don't really expect him to. It was an illness, and he played through it on, Monday night? So MPJ probably in, but if he were to sit, that might change my stance on Jokic. Maybe he decides he needs to shoot the ball more with one of their best scorers on the sidelines. But MPJ in, I probably don't get to a ton of Jokic. Another guy I'm looking at if MPJ sits is Bruce Brown. He's really cheap, 3,800. He probably steps into the starting lineup for him. Could certainly play some Bruce Brown if MPJ sits, but probably Murray is the only guy I really have much interest in here if MPJ plays.
All right, OKC at Phoenix. Now we're talking. 234 total. The Suns, I think, favored by a house. it's like 15. I think it's 13, actually. Denver, or we just talked about Denver. OKC, second end of back-to-back. Phoenix, Shamit's out. That's really it. So we'll have to kind of see on the Thunder because, I mean, I would assume Poku sits. I would assume that – oh, they already said Jalen Williams will not play. So we know –
I think they said SGA will not play also. I thought I saw that notification.
Yeah, he will sit against the Suns. So,
yep.
Let's just go right into it, Keith. Let's talk Thunder. No SGA, no Jalen Williams, no Shamit, no Poku. He's getting close. They sent him to the G League to get some minutes. So he's getting close, but Don't expect him back here. Thunder, one of the toughest teams to figure out. Josh Giddey's usage should be really high in this game. Dort, 6K. They weren't messing around with his price on this one. Isaiah Joe, 4,400, probably plays if this game gets ugly, doesn't come off the floor. So I think my mindset is, like, I don't like to try to predict blowouts, but the flip side of it is maybe this is where I'm taking shots on guys like Sarge and, like, Isaiah Joe, guys that are not coming off the floor, and just hoping that this game does get out of hand and these guys get, like, 25-plus minutes.
Yeah, like spending it, like Phoenix is a great defensive team. I mean, we haven't seen a ton of them this version without Bridges and plus Durant, but I think they're still going to be pretty solid defensively. It's also a back-to-back for Oklahoma City. I know Giddey smashed Tuesday night. I'm not sure that I want to pay 7,600 in a tough matchup on a back-to-back with no real supporting cast around him. So I agree with you. I'm looking cheap here, and I think there is – I don't know, six or seven guys that are in play. The Thunder rotation is not easy to figure out.
Because there is no rotation. Let's just
right. Yeah, they all just kind of play 25 minutes. Yep. Yeah. Yep. You're absolutely right. Isaiah Joe at 4,400, definitely in play. He should get his mid-20s minutes. Jalen Williams had a pretty decent game. The center, Jalen Williams, who will be playing in this game, 3,700. Don't hate shots there. You mentioned Saric. He's probably my favorite of the bunch. If he can see mid to upper 20s minutes, 3,400, he's a guy who can shoot a little bit, can rebound. Probably the guy I have the most interest in. Wiggins, we saw jump into the starting lineup. He's 3,500. If we can get 30 minutes out of him, not a huge producer. But with SGA off the floor, there's going to be so many more shots available. Wiggins should see an increase in usage from what he saw Tuesday night. Certainly don't mind him. It gets tough after that. I think Joe, Saric, Williams, Wiggins, probably in that order, those four cheapies are what I'm looking at here.
I think Dang is another one. Someone just mentioned it in YouTube chat as well. It's probably him or Sarge, or maybe both of them getting 25 minutes in this one. So just throwing that name out there as well.
Yep, good call. He did see 19 minutes on Tuesday. So
Phoenix, I don't think I can play Paul, Ayton, Booker, Durant in this game. And it has nothing to do with matchup. It was awesome to see Kevin Durant play 40 minutes the other night. He's good to go. But with that said, like, Devin Booker had a monster game again. Like, another really big game. And if we think back, when Devin Booker has had another usage guy playing with him, like, he's getting these looks and he plays good. So I don't know, man. I think Phoenix is a team that is a serious threat to win the championship now. I mean, that's not like a hot take or anything. They were already a top five team in the West, but I think that they have the firepower to win a championship. I mean, the biggest drawback is their bench is kind of shallow, but in the playoffs, you can play four or five guys, big minutes, and it doesn't matter as much. But what are we doing with Phoenix in this spot?
Yeah, I'm very concerned about blowout. Massive spread already. Probably grows by the time this game tips off, I would think.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's hard to pay up for a guy like Booker or Durant if they're only going to see three quarters. Like, we saw it with Embiid Tuesday night. Like, he absolutely smashed, but then he only played 28 minutes. He didn't get his fourth quarter run, and he just, like, you can't win a tournament with that. You need the full run. So, yeah, Booker probably smashes while he's out there in this one, but I am concerned a little bit about blowout. Probably don't get there much. I'd be looking to save some money. I'm not playing Chris Paul. I just don't think that he's going to shoot much on this team. That's part of what makes this team work, is Paul is willing to distribute to Booker and Durant and even Ayton. and just be the distributor rather than a scorer here. I think you can look at some of these 3K guys and hope that this game gets out of hand and somebody like Terrence Ross, who will generally see 18 to 20 minutes, can jump into the mid 20s minutes here. He's 3,100. Torrey Craig, he's not a big usage guy, maybe not there. Payne's been dealing with injury. So like of the guys, I think Terrence Ross, maybe Damian Lee just might see a little bit of extra run, might be enough for one of these Phoenix 3K guys to outscore some of the 3K guys on the other side of this game. And that'd be a huge advantage because Aaron Wiggins, if he's starting, is going to come in massively owned and nobody's playing somebody like Terrence Ross or Damian Lee. So I like that for tournament pivots.
The human torch, Terrence Ross. man, I watched him over the years just have some insane games and make some insane shots with the Magic. I would be really excited to see him win a championship because he's a cool dude. Girlfriend? I don't know if it's his girlfriend or wife. I don't know if he's married, but she's really funny. I've met her a couple times at the Magic games. But anyway, I think my favorite play would probably be Ayton. And it's just no one on the Thunder can stop him. And if the game does stay remotely close, he's cheap enough where he can kind of just do his thing. But yeah, I mean, if you're playing this game to stay close, if you're doing that in large field tournaments, it's not the craziest thing. I think you're playing Josh Giddey and running it back with a Booker and just hoping the game goes close. Thunder, they're a pesky team too, but they're on the second end of back-to-back, no SGA. Big difference if SGA is playing in this game. I think that we're way more enticed on taking shots on Durant and Booker and Ayton and these guys. It's just with SGA out, it's really tough to see this game stay close. All right, we finish it out. Raptors, Clippers, 229 total. Clippers, a 4-point favorite in this one. On the Clippers side of things, Norman Powell is out. And then on the Raptors side of things, Otto Porter Jr. is out. So pretty much the same rotations that we've had here recently for both of these teams. We'll go to Toronto first. What are your thoughts here on the Raptors?
We talked about it with Dallas. They're a completely different team since the addition of Kyrie Irving. These Los Angeles Clippers are the exact same situation with Russell Westbrook in the fold. They have been awful on defense since the addition of Russell Westbrook. Toronto is cheap. I know Siakam has been struggling a ton lately, but he's down to 8,500. We've paid almost 10K for Siakam before. I don't hate shots on it. It's not my favorite play. My favorite play is Fred VanVleet. 8,400 is way too cheap. Russell Westbrook on the other side. I think Fred VanVleet absolutely smashes in this spot. Jakob Poeltl is a guy that we've seen play over 30 minutes with this Toronto team. He's 6,600. Certainly will need him to – they have Zubac and Plumlee on the other side. I would not be surprised to see Jakob Poeltl play 32 minutes, 34 minutes in this game. He can smash it with those minutes at 6,600. Even OG and Trent are cheap at 5,900 and 5K. This Toronto team might be my favorite spot of the entire night.
Yeah, I like this game. This game, I mean, there's plays on both sides of this game that I like. I like the Fred VanVleet call a lot. I don't mind Poeltl. Siakam's ceiling is what you're looking at here. He put up 57 fantasy points against this team when they played earlier this year. So, he's capable of big games. So I definitely don't mind, 8,500 for him. So, yeah, I mean, taking shots on one or two of these guys, running it back here on the Clippers side with, dare I say, taking some shots on Westbrook, taking some shots here on Kawhi or Paul George. Kawhi and George have similar ceilings. So that for me is just taking shots on the ownership game, which one we project to come in lower owned. I'll play that one. And I think the ceilings and the matchup is very similar for both of those guys. But Westbrook at 7,200, I think, is okay. The question is, do we think Zubac's minutes come back here? He came back and he played with the calf after missing a few games. Do we think he gets back up into that 28 to 32 minute range? Because 5,600 is a really fair price tag for him in this matchup. I don't hate that.
Yeah, I could see 28 minutes again for sure. I don't know that 32 with Plumlee there. I don't see him getting above 30 very often. But I don't mind him at 5,600. If we can see 28 minutes, agree completely with your Kawhi, Paul George takes, like, they're kind of the same play, just mix and match them. I certainly would not play them together, but it would not surprise me one bit if either one of them found a 60-point fantasy game in this spot. Russ at 7,200 in play for me as well. Always has triple-double upside, has been playing over 30 minutes the last couple of games. And I know that I think Kawhi sat one and PG sat the other, but still should see at least 28 minutes in the spot. Norm Powell out. I think you can take shots on somebody like Eric Gordon. Not comfortable, but he's actually carving out a pretty decent role here for this team. Yep. Like, don't mind that at all at 4,600. Morris is really cheap too. I don't know that I get there. It feels like he's the guy that's kind of been pushed to the side a little bit. But man, 3,500 for Marcus Morris is crazy to look at. But yeah, I mean, this is probably the game that I'll have the most like game stack exposure to. And I like several pieces from both sides here.
All right, let's play the morning grind game, and then we will get out of here. Favorite play under 5K to go 7X. Who do you got today?
I'm going to go Dario Saric. I think he has a good shot to play upper 20s minutes here. Don't love the matchup against Phoenix, but with no SGA, no Jalen Williams, there's going to be plenty of shots available.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate that at all. I'm going to go Sadiq Bey. Like, probably not getting 7X, but I like him to get 6+X. I know the question is to try to get 7X, but honestly, I don't really love anything right now. I mean, Isaiah Joe ceiling-wise, maybe. Justin Holiday, maybe if he's in the lineup or like in the starting lineup. But as of right now, I think that Bay is really interesting for tournaments. Over 8K to go under 5X. Who's your bust today?
Give me Jimmy Butler. Tough matchup against Cleveland. We talked about that just being a really tough game environment. 8,700, probably too much in this spot.
Yeah, I'm going to go Donovan Mitchell. I mean, same. This game just, I mean, he's in two games against Miami this year. He's averaging 35 fantasy points. He's 5 for 20 from 3 and 11 for 29 shooting. On the season, he's shooting around 47 to 48%. He's shooting 38% against this team. Good defense. Favorite 6X play, who do you got?
Fred VanVleet against the fighting Russell Westbrooks. I don't think the field will adjust enough to, like, we think about the Mavericks and the Clippers and teams like that as good defensive, slow paced teams, but that the reality is they are not those teams anymore. Love this spot for Fred VanVleet. Think he's going to be a little bit lower on than he should be.
Yeah. I like that call. I think that is a super solid call. I don't have anybody that I'm like, oh, I love this guy today. Like, I don't have that guy. Like, I like a lot of plays today. So, I mean, I think it's Ingram again. Dallas is just not the same team defensively. Brandon Ingram is capable of big games. I like his chances to have a big game here. Hopefully he just plays the second half as good as he plays the first half tonight. So give me BI. Let's get weird GPP play of the day. Who do you got?
I'm going to take a $3,100 Terrence Ross against Oklahoma City. I'll probably play this game to blow out, and a guy like Terrence Ross can put some points in the bucket in a hurry. 3,100 OKC. I like it.
You do not get the name Human Torch for no reason. I'm going to go Justin Holiday. Like, this might actually end up being someone that gets some ownership throughout the day, but give me Justin Holiday at 3,200. I don't think Bullock plays, and he was closing the game for Dallas, so I wouldn't be shocked if we see him in the starting lineup today. Any pick'em plays or any bets that you're liking here today?
Nothing really was standing out. Just trying to see. I'm seeing a 12.5 on this Suns Thunder game. I don't see any way Oklahoma City keeps this game close. So give me Suns minus 12.5. I think that number probably grows a little bit as we head up to tip off. I think Phoenix probably wins this one by close to 20.
Atlanta, Washington, BetMGM right now has this game at 223.5. That seems really low. FanDuel has it at 233. So it's like a 10-point difference. And this was before we started. I haven't checked to see if it's been updated or not. But yeah, I mean, if you can get points bet, BetMGM both have it at like 223.5, 224. I like the over if you can get it at anything under like 225 for that one. So that's going to wrap it up here for Wednesday. Appreciate you again for filling in last minute here, Keith. We'll be back tomorrow talking some more hoops. Hope everyone has a fantastic day. We'll see you then.